I'm going to start a series. I don't know how many messages it'll be, maybe two, maybe three, maybe more. I don't know. It's called the establishment of the church. Now somebody say, oh, what's that got to do with me? You know, in today's world, everybody wants something. How's this going to help me? Well, actually, when you know some history and know why something is, why something was done, it helps you with the present and it helps you with the future. You know, many of us that lived through World War II and the Korean War, we understand some things about socialism and communism that your younger generation don't understand. You see Europe free now, but it wasn't, but you know, it was all taken over, and they lived in only the people up at the top is the only ones that had anything. So somebody said, well, what does it mean to us to establish him out of the church? Well, if you don't know what the church is, I'm not talking about the physical, this local church. You need to know about the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes called the body of Christ. And so we're going to focus on that. Actually, this is, this is the first Sunday after Easter. And Christ rose from the dead. But before he was resurrected, he spoke a prophecy. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the powers of hell cannot conquer it, according to Matthew 16:18 in the New Living Translation. This resurrected Jesus was going to build something that never existed before with the help of his Father God. He was going to raise up a people that believed in him, and it will be called the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look into the book of Acts and we find where the church was birthed, where it started. And it was immediately after his resurrection and his ascension into heaven that he began to build the church. Now, if you read into the book of Acts, you'll find that they built the church by preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that supernaturally launched the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the ministry of Jesus did not end with when he ascended on high. The ministry of Jesus still exists today through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a present day ministry. We are that present day ministry, the church, the body of Christ. Smith Wigglesworth said this in his book, Ever Increasing Faith. The ministry of Jesus did not end at the cross, but the Acts and the epistles give us the account of what he continued to do and teach through those who he indwelt, the church. That is still happening today. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will continue with the same power until Jesus comes again. He said there in first chapter, this same Jesus that you say ascending will come again. Well, until he comes again, the church will be doing the work of Jesus Christ on the earth. That's what we're existing for. The church is made up of those who believe in Christ. Like them, like us now. See, we see him ascending into heaven in Acts 1. Acts 2, we see the beginning, the launch of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There. Now, Lester Sumrall said this in one of his books. The book of Acts contains the blueprint for the spiritual structure of the church until Christ returns. What is a blueprint? It's what you build something off of. So we should be building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the same foundation and the same blueprint that they had in the Acts of the Apostles, that they had in the epistles, Paul, John. Hello, come on now. You see, the early church in the book of the Acts, we're the latter church, they're the early church, was designed to display the supernatural power of God. It was not designed as an ordinary natural entity. With the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the building of the church became the focus. I believe that most people do not have a full understanding of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, why it was established, what it's for. You know, I went to Bible school, and they teach this stuff in the Bible school and stuff. But the majority of the people that are in the church, I'm not talking about a local church. See, the church that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is made up of many local bodies that we call churches. But I'm talking about the one church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is everyone that is born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and has accepted Jesus Christ into their heart as their personal Savior. They are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's give this a title. People like titles. So we'll call it, "The Church is Alive Today." Just as it was alive on that launch day. You see, we need to understand that we are a living, vital connection to Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the church, or his body, some people call it. When they're talking about the church, they're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's called his body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's too innocent. Now, let's look at some scripture, okay? I want to look at Colossians 1:18, and I'm going to look at it in the New King James, the New Living, the NIV, and the Message. And the reason I'm doing that is because it may give you a little bit different idea in each one. Colossians 1:18 in the New King James, and he is the head of the body, the church. See, there it is. See, I keep saying the church, the body. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he may have the preeminence." New Living. "Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead." Now, that's not talking about life, that's talking about spiritual death. The Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but you're alive. That's spiritual death. That's what it's talking about there. "So that in everything he might have the supremacy." Now, in the Message it says, "And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like the head does the body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From the beginning to the end, he's there, towering above far above everything and everyone. Now he said he is leading the resurrection parade. You see, when he arose from the dead, it goes back to when we are baptized in water, we are raised. And that's what it's talking about when he's talking about the resurrection parade. How many of you have been baptized in water? If you've been born again, you need to, because some people say, well, what's water baptism about? Water baptism is about what's already happened spiritually, but it is a natural thing of going under the water in which you die to sin and you're raised up out of the water in which you are resurrected to the new life in Christ Jesus. That's all it is. Some people try to give some kind of theological exclamation about it. That's it. That's what it's all about. All right? Now, these verses show us then that Christ is the head of the church or his body. And I want you to get that. When you hear people talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're talking about the body. And he is the head. Okay? Now, then that is the head connected to the body. Huh? Yeah. It is a vital connection. Because without the head, the body can't function. Hello? There is a direct spiritual connection between Christ and us, who are the church. You know, sometimes people think there's a vast gulf between God and heaven, and we're here on earth just getting by the best way we can. But that's not so, because Matthew 28:20 says that he is with us always. How is he with us? Through the word of God, through his spirit. How many have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Through the spirit. You see, that's why when you have salvation, you're born of the spirit. But then when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you're what we call being baptized in or immersed in the Spirit of God. Say this with me. Christ is the head of the church or his body. What does that mean? That means that we have his life, his strength, his energy, his power. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich, satisfying life. Who is he giving a rich, satisfying life to? The church. His body that he's the head of. This means then that the very life of God is flowing in us, because each one of us make up the church. The New Testament uses a word, a Greek word, called Zoe. Zoe actually refers to the life of God or everlasting life. There's a man that I'm named after, is Kenneth E. Hagin, that was a very well-known minister of the gospel. And he had a book called Zoe, the God Kind of Life. He said this in his book: it is in reality God imparting his very nature, substance, and being into our human spirit. You know, Jesus referred to this vital living connection between himself and believers by saying he was the vine and we were the branches. Now, you see, when we say that, we don't really get the fully understanding of that. But they had the grapevines, the vines that grew the grapes. And they had olive trees with branches. What he was referring to is that he was the main part, and the branches receive their strength from that. Well, let's just go read in John what he said. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, I think it's good sometimes when we can establish what we're really a part of. You can't really operate properly until you really understand what you're a part of. It says in verse 5 of chapter 15 of John, "Yes, I am the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, they will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, my words remain in you. You may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." Now, if you go right outside this building, you'll find some different kinds of bushes and trees out there. But each one of them has a main stem or trunk or vine, however you want to call it. And from that comes out different branches. You break off a branch and lay it down, it won't be very long until it's dead. Right? But all the others, you look at them, they're still alive. Why? Because they're drawing all of their strength from what they're connected to. How many understand what I'm saying to you? This indicates then that he is the head, and that his strength, his power, his ability, his knowledge, everything flows through him to the church. Now, God has designed the church to be a revolutionary force in the earth. Now, somebody said, what are you talking about? Well, go back and read about Jesus when he was here on earth. He was a revolutionary force, right? He raised people from the dead. He told the water to be quiet, and it was. Hello, he walked on water. I mean, that was revolutionary. His church, that's what we're designed for. We'll talk about that more in other places. But it says, he said, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." See, the enemy of God, the devil himself, is against anything that is godly. He took a third of the angels, and he was going to overthrow God. Well, God said that ain't going to happen, and kicked him out of heaven with those third of the angels. So 2/3 of the angels is left. So that means for every one of the angels that the devil had, they had 2 to 1, right? And he is still against God. And he will manipulate society. He will manipulate circumstances in the earth to come against the church. He will do the same thing to come against you individually to get you out of the church. But Jesus has already told us the power of hell cannot win against those who believe and are a part of the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are complaining about the church and saying what's wrong with it. Well, yeah, the church is made up of people, and there will be problems. Somebody said, well, prove it by the Bible. All you got to do is go read Paul's writings to the church at Corinth. I mean, hey, anybody ever read 1 Corinthians? Well, I'm glad to see about 50% of this congregation reads the Bible. Anybody ever read 1 Corinthians? Oh, now that looks more like it. Was not the Corinthian church a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you read in there where they had disagreements and problems and people doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing and Paul had to correct it? When it come to the communion table, he had to correct them because they were trying to use that as a place to get their food. And he said, this is not what this table's about. I'm just paraphrasing it. So as long as there are people in the church, the enemy is going to work on them to try to destroy the church from inside. But we need to learn to walk in love in the church. Now, I didn't say be a doormat. You can walk in love without being somebody walking all over you, okay? And that's another time, that's another subject. Being a part of the church doesn't mean that we're perfect. Some people think that if you're a part of the church, you're going to be perfect. Everybody that's perfect, I want you to stand up right now. If anybody stands up, we're going to have a prayer meeting for you. Because it said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So we're going to pray for you. We don't want that to happen to you. I didn't see any takers because we all know that we come short on stuff. But you see, we need to realize, though, that we are hooked up with the power of God. We're hooked up with the head, Jesus Christ, who is perfect. And he's trying to impart that to the church, his body. He's trying to impart that to us. You know, all of us should have a sign hung around our neck that says under construction. Because we are all under construction, because the more we read, the more we learn about the head of the church, the more we change our own lives. You know, the church. Say it, the church. I'm a part of it. Say it. You're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're connected to the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. We're connected to the one that they crucified, but he's now alive and sits at the right hand of God. And if you go back in history, you'll find out that the place of honor for the person that was second underneath the king sat at his right hand. That's why it's important. That's an important part. He sat at the right hand. See, when they said that in the wrote in the Word of God, back then they understood that. We don't understand that so much now, but we need to. We are connected to Christ. Jesus. There's no other name like that. He is supreme over all. The life, the strength, the power for the church and for you individually that make up the church comes from the head, Christ. Everything you do in your as a body, everything time you pick up something, every time I take a step, all of it comes from the head. The leg, the feet, the hands, nothing works without the head. Come on now. I'm trying to get you to understand, we the church, and we're made up of many churches and many individuals in the church, but we are all underneath the head, Jesus Christ, just as our body's underneath our head. So our strength, our power, everything comes from the head. Somebody said, well, the church is weak. No, we're not weak. It's just that the church, some of the churches are not doing what they're supposed to do. The church is alive and well because the head is alive and well. And as long as the head is alive and well, the body will be alive and well. Hello. God intended for the world to be changed. That's why I said revolutionary. How is it to be changed? By each person in the body or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ sharing with others what God has done for you. It's not my job. Well, my job is to preach, but it's not all my job. It's your job. It's every member of the body's job to make sure that the church is working correctly. See, for some people, it'll be preaching like this. That's how it's supposed to be done. For others, it may mean just being a part of a team that goes and knocks on doors and gives out some tracts, invites people. For others, it means that you just live a lifestyle in front of people that preaches the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every member has a part to play in the church. And when everyone does their part, we become a revolutionary force changing people's lives. The church of Jesus Christ is to be healthy, growing, and full of love. Ephesians 4, go there. I'm going to read New Living Translation. Now, like I said, this is the first part. I got another part already for next Sunday. And so it'll dovetail or connect into what I'm saying right here at the end of this message, okay? Ephesians 4:14. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. I want you to notice it talks about his body, the church. So when it's talking about the body of Christ, it's talking about the church. When it's talking about the church, it's talking about the body of Christ. Need to get that. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Look at that clause, that last clause in verse 16. The whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. God wants the church to be healthy, growing, full of love, so that the Great Commission is fulfilled. What is the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It didn't say do the preachers. It said you, the church, goes into all the world. Who is the church? You, me, a whole bunch of others. He wants us to share this God kind of life, this Zoe life, with everybody we meet. And you don't always have to do it with your mouth. You can do it with your life. You can do it with your actions. I heard a story on the radio just the other day. And this crossing guard that had worked as a crossing guard, a retired man, worked at a crossing guard at this school for many years. And his car broke down. But he still, and his wife was sick, and they didn't have finances. And he still came and walked to help those kids across the street. Well, the fathers of those kids in that elementary school got together and bought him a car. And they stopped it right in the middle of the street. And he got out and they said, "Move the car. We need to move the car." And so they handed him the keys, said, "If you want the car moved, move it yourself, because that's your car." Now, I don't know whether those were, I don't know who those guys were. I just heard that story on the radio. But that's what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be doing, helping people. In fact, does not it say in the Word of God, if you have the wherewithal to help somebody, do it? My wife and I, back in December the 30th, was our 53rd wedding anniversary. We're sitting at a restaurant, and there was a elderly couple that come in, and they sat down right behind. They were behind me. I couldn't see them. And Lynette said, they're looking at the menu, and now they're talking, and they're just ordering one steak, one baked potato, one salad to share. And she said, "You know," and she heard that they were celebrating their anniversary. And she said, "You know, I bet they didn't realize the expense. And I bet their own, I imagine their own fixed incomes. So let's buy their food." I said, "Oh, great. I don't know who they are. Never seen them before in my life. Hello?" But we did it. But the waiter they wanted to know who did it, and the waiter told them, so they came over and we talked with them for a little bit. You know, that's the kind of love that you show. We introduced ourselves, and then we got a card from them later, because they went and looked us up, you know, and found out who we were. And they said, "Thank you for showing the love of Christ." Hey, that's what the church does. How many of y'all remember we did that program of, what was it called? That VIP program. How many of y'all got involved on that? Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that fun? And the testimonies we got back of people that, because on the back of that little card, and for y'all that don't know about it, if you're going through a drive-in, you'd pay for the person behind you and give the person the card and say, "Hey, when they come, tell them we paid for it. And if they're a very important person, had on," then it had there, and it had place so they could go and write a deal. One lady wrote and she said, "I didn't know what I was going to do. I was spending my last money for the kids. My husband had left and so forth." I remember this testimony. Said that blessed my heart. Hey, that's what the church is. That's who we are. The love of Christ. The love of Christ reaches out to help people. That's why we got that We Care Center over there. See, some of you say, "Well, I don't know that I'm helping." Hey, if you've ever brought a can of food, if you ever brought something to the We Care Center, you have blessed somebody. You're showing the love of Christ. Come on now. Anybody understanding what the church is? It's a living, thriving body of believers that is designed to minister to this world that we live in. God has each one of us in a position. Everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And that's the Texas way of saying it. The real pronunciation is something. But where I come from down in Texas, they say something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody else say something? Where are you from? Oh, I think some of the people say that from some of the other states too. But see, let me tell you something. God is calling the church to function the way it was meant to function. And that would be by every individual being in the church. You see, the church is made up of everybody, but inside of the church is each individual. Excuse me again. Each individual working within the confines of the church underneath the head. Then the church will be healthy, growing, and full of life. Say it with me. Healthy, growing, excuse me again, and full of love. As I close this session, we'll do another next Sunday. I want to read from the late John Osteen's book. I've used this before in sermons back many years ago. From his book, The Awakening Generation. And I think we all need to be awakened to who the church is. Like a sleeping giant rising itself out of the deep sleep, the true church, which is the body of Christ, is awakening. The prophet Joel said, "It shall come to pass in these last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." This prophecy is being fulfilled today. They are awakening to know that Jesus Christ is indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are tired of denominationalized Jesus, who has lost his supernatural power to heal the sick, deliver the demon-possessed, and perform miracles. They are awakening to the fact that traditions of man has robbed them of their rightful heritage as sons and daughters of God. With tear-stained faces, these awakened people are climbing the hill of God to get out of the smog and the fog of tradition and sectarianism. They want God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church should be doing right now. We should be climbing the hill with the power of God. The church should be awakening ourselves. We are a sleeping giant. And because the church is set silent too long, the giant is winning. But it's time for the church to stand up and say, this is what God said. God said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And when we were in Israel 3 years ago, Joe and Amy were there with us, and some other church members were with us. We were at the Temple of Pan, I think it was, and he said there was an ever-burning fire there. And the guy told us, he said, they call that the gates of hell. And this is where Jesus was when he said it. Isn't that what he said, Brother Joe? Wave your hand if that's what he said. Yeah. He said that when he was looking at the fire that they burn sacrifices, human sacrifices in. He said the gates of hell, and they called it the gates of hell, will not prevail. Let me tell you what, people, if the church will rise up and take our place that we need to take and recognize the power of the Holy Spirit and not deny the power of the Holy Spirit, but rise up and be the church. There's an old song they used to sing, let the church be the church. Well, we need to be being the church again. We are a continuation. Acts 28 was not the end of the operation of the church. That's why it's called the early church. We are the latter church, and we're still writing the book of Acts. And the book of Acts will not end until Jesus Christ comes and takes us out of here. And I don't have time to go into a revelation and at that time. Anybody get anything this morning? Everybody stand up. Say this with me. We are the church. Every one of us that is born again are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I purpose in my heart to do what the church is supposed to do. Underneath the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Did you just say that because I asked you to, or was that really a prayer from your heart that you're going to be who the church says we are? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in this place today and you say, Pastor, I'm not a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because I've never accepted him as my personal Savior. Or you're here and you say, I know what it is to be in the church, but I'm just not where I'm supposed to be, and I need to rededicate my life to God. Anybody on either one of those invitations, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you today so that your life will be changed forever. And you'll be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Upstairs or downstairs, there's a hand over here. Thank you. Are the other hands that will be raised? Other hands that will be raised in this place. I have another invitation. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, like I was preaching about. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's a biblical experience. It's not church creed or doctrine. It's what the Bible says. So anybody here want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand right now in the name of Jesus. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand. I saw one hand. There may have been more. I couldn't tell. But if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to come on down here right now. I want to shake hands with you, and I want to pray with you. So come on right now. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand. If you're in the balcony, they'll help you get down here. Come right here, man. God bless you, buddy. Just wait for a minute. We'll see if we can get some more. Come on now. If there's anybody else want to come, come on. You raised your hand. Should have raised your hand. Wanted to raise your hand. Come on. I think there was another one or two. Come on now. Come on now. I'm waiting on you. We're going to wait just a moment. I'm not going to take a long time. I'm waiting on you. Everybody reach your hands out. I pray with this young man. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. Every spiritual need in this life will be met today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You see Greg right there? I want you to go with him to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in depth, given some books. Okay. Where are you going? We call it prayer room this morning. But every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, well, what in the world is Turning Point? Well, it's just a few classes to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. And I'd like to see you in there next Sunday. Thank you. God bless you, buddy. Bless you. That's what it's all about right there. That's what the church is. That's why the church exists. That's why the church exists. Amen. Did you have something you wanted to sing?
Actually, I'm changing on you. What you just said a few minutes ago. Well, let the church be the church and let God's people rejoice. For we've settled the question and we made our choice. And let the anthems, let them ring out songs of victory swell. For the church triumphant is alive
Hallelujah. Now, see, he was raised in the same denomination I was raised in. We used to sing that. And we didn't even have the words to put up. I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember nothing about it except let the church be the church.
I couldn't until I was walking up.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit brought it back to you. Amen. Praise God. Well, connection team, go find our first time guest. Take them to that connection room. Nobody else moving unless you have to, because I'm fixing to dismiss you. I would like to ask that you pray for me and Lynette and the crusade team tonight at what time is that service tonight? 7 o'clock. We'll be in Vancouver, Washington. Faith Center Church in Vancouver, Washington. If you're in that area up there, come on out and be with us. We'll be there Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. And then we move over to Meridian, which is just a part of Boise, Idaho.
Life Church
there. And we'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That some of you may know, that's Whitley Bohr and Wesley Bohr. You see Whitley up here, the blonde girl that sings. That's their dad's church. We're going to be there. And crusades, pray for us as we're out there. But you be here on Wednesday night, because somebody will be here to me. You be here tonight at 6 o'clock. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay. Hey, we're going to sing a song. Staff, go to the door so we can shake hands with you. Hey, remember all the announcements. Get the kids signed up for youth camp. There's one opening for a baby. We only take so many baby dedications because we can't do it. But so there's one opening if you want to go out there and sign up. God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday morning. We're going to continue. I'm going to pick up right where I left off. Then talk about the church, okay? All right. God bless. See you.
Come on and play.